morning, everyone. Refreshment Service Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee brings you the Mary Griffith Stowe Show. So excited to have them here. Remember, their premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches. The beans are all hand-roasted. They have a signature blend. We use that a lot here at the Radio Ranch. They even have decaf coffee, although I don't understand that, but that's okay. French roast, Highlander grog, I've had that. That's delicious. Kona blend, extreme blend for when you absolutely have to have it as thick as paint. And Colombian supreme, delivered fresh to you with a rich, sophisticated coffee experience. Have it like we do every morning here at the Radio Ranch. You can have it at your office, have it at your home, or stop by your local convenience store and get a cup of Harvest Ridge Coffee by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Jenna Hull has come with the 2022 annual report of the United Way. Oh, I'm sure it's a page-turner.
It is, definitely. We try to make it so exciting.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the annual report. You had your annual meeting.
Yes.
You were able to announce that you made your goal and exceeded your goal.
So we, our campaign this year raised $1,140,202. So we were super excited about that. We'll be able to fund our programs with just a little bit of an increase that over last year. So we're, you know, super excited to be able to do that for the programs that we provide for.
It's always great when you can give more out every year.
Yes.
Of course, we're getting ready to gear up for the next campaign, and we need even more money because the needs stay, well, constant.
Yes.
I mean, the constant need. It seems as if we start to solve one problem and another problem crops up. But there are 18 funded partners and 27 funded programs, and 10 of the programs deal primarily with health,
yes,
including mental health.
Mm-hmm.
9 of the programs deal with education, mostly children's education, but also some family financial,
yes,
education.
Yes, definitely.
And financial stability, 8 programs for financial stability. So that is just fantastic that those pillars of health, education, and financial stability, we've seen a big change in recent years because of that. Jenna Hull, talk about the successes from the 2022 annual report.
Yes, so we had some huge successes, and the biggest thing that we are, again, proud of is just that we're going to be able to fund those programs. We're not dropping any of our funding, and, you know, every year when money is tight, you worry about those things. And so we're working on resource investment process right now, and we are looking at funding the priorities that came out of our community needs assessment, which is, you know, we partner with the Adams County Health Department and Blessing Health on that. And so we're looking to fund programs that primarily invest in those areas, which is poverty, housing, and behavioral health. So we're working on that now. We're working on allocations. The partner agencies are doing all of their things. But, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about there in the office, too, is maybe people know, maybe people don't know, we also fund our helpline. And our helpline is staffed by a dedicated individual, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. She is always there to take calls and help people find the resources they need. You know, we have people coming into the office that need assistance. And so when people ask what we do, you know, we don't just give out money to agencies. We don't just fund programs. We also work directly in the community to make sure that we have, that people have the assistance that they need. So
that helpline is so critically important. Now, one program you're not offering in 2023 that mm-hmm. you did offer in 2022 was the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program.
Yes.
And that was always touted as returning so much value to our community. So I'd like an explanation of why you chose not to be part of that this year. And I know there's at least one other agency that's taking clients for that. So
yes,
talk a little bit mm-hmm. about why the United Way just decided to step back from that program.
Yes. So there was a lot of thought and planning that went into that decision. It actually was a decision that took almost 3 years to make from the board because, as you said, it is a huge value to the community. What we noticed was the strain on the staff, and as well as the, I'm trying to think of the way to say it, the restrictions, but also the training every year got more and more stringent. Our volunteers were dropping down because they didn't really want to do all the trainings that it would take. They were having a struggle trying to pass the exams. You know, I always say, if you look at your job or my job, and, you know, my job is, let's say, 40 hours a week, then you add another 20 hours a week on top of that during VITA to every staff member, the strain is tremendous. And, you know, when you have staff already that are working hard and you know, there's a huge burnout, as you know, in nonprofits. And so I think the board started to see that huge strain on the staff.
Everybody wanted to take vacation in March. Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, I mean, the problem is, you're right, it's just, it's a little bit too much because it can't be spread out over a 12-month period.
Right.
Income tax is income tax. And
correct.
So you started taking appointments in February, March, and April, and by the time April 15th comes,
right.
yeah, you're almost yeah. done. The good news is, that service is still being provided at the senior center.
Yes.
Is there another place that has picked up that service?
So just so you are aware, MyFreeTaxes.com is a free tax service that you can go to online, and we directed a lot of our clients there this year. It is completely free. They do have a little automated person that can help you if you have questions while you're doing that. And we've had a lot of people that went to that this year. We're able to track that a bit. So we had quite a few people that were able to go to that. We did have some people come in to do the returns and that needed our help financially, and we were able to assist with that as well, which has been great. So I don't know of another agency beyond the senior center that is picking it up, but the senior center did step up. I believe they got more volunteers. You know, I think that their staff kind of stepped in a little bit more as well. But that is the other thing about the volunteer income tax assistance program is that a large percentage of those hours have to be volunteers. They're not supposed to be staff. And we were finding that that was hard. We were all stepping in, but we weren't necessarily,
right.
you know. So there's just so many things that go into it. But I do think that the majority of our clients were able to find another tax service. If they needed financial assistance, we found that for them. And a lot of them went over to the senior center, and I think the senior center saw a huge increase. So the percentage of people that did not, that fell through the cracks, I think, this year was very, very small because we were able to catch them when they called and try to make sure we got them to the right place. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the bottom line is the United Way is always trying to help people, but you have a limit to how much you can do.
Thank you.
And you
yes.
went back to the helpline. That might be somebody who, my kid doesn't have a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
My child doesn't have a coat to wear. We can't pay our utility bill.
Absolutely.
There are programs already in place to help people. And one thing we've harped on, people call so late. They
yes.
wait. They're so proud. They want to do it themselves. They don't want to rely on someone else.
Yes.
But the cupboard's bare now all of a sudden, and they don't have anything to feed the kid. And it's, you know, Tuesday and noon's coming, and
yes.
there's dinner tonight, and I've got nothing.
Because
yes. I've been stretching out macaroni and cheese for 5 days now, and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So we tend to wait until we get into trouble to get help. And the United Way can help you immediately, but they can also help you with budgeting.
Yes.
Maybe help you with getting some job training so you can improve your skills, make more money. Help with child care.
Absolutely.
You know, some people really are capable of going to work, but they can't get child care. It's
right.
a vicious circle.
Yeah, and, you know, Cheerful Home is one of the only agencies around that can do, you know, this graduated fee structure based largely on the donation that we give them to fund that. So parents that can't afford child care, you know, they're able to do that. So, yeah, there's definitely a huge advantage of having the helpline. And a lot of people don't realize, I mean, the things that we help with, and the resources that we have are huge, and we work every day to find more and more resources in Adams County so that we are current and up to date on all of our information. You know, just the other day someone called and they said, I need to do a background check on somebody for, you know, for our church. Where do I go? Well, we found out where they need to go to do a background check. So anything like that, you know, any kind of resource you need, like you said, utility assistance, rental assistance, if somebody needs dental, you know, help, if somebody has a medical bill that they need help with, medical transportation, if somebody needs, you know, assistance trying to get to and from doctor's appointments. We have so many resources in our community that are available that our residents just don't even know about. So we're happy to help and provide that service.
And just call the helpline. Again, if
yes.
they can't help you, they know who can. They raised $1,131,000 in $59. $1,131,059.
Yeah.
We'll just round it to 1.1.
1.14.
And we'll say that all that money is going to be returned into our community. And you highlight some of your special fundraisers, like the driving community. Yes. Pogue and Little Jess and Ron Snyder and Kunis. If you took a test drive, they made a donation to the United Way. The restaurant days were so important.
Yes, we had 20 this year. It's amazing what we do,
And United Way Wednesdays, I mean, it's going to get to where, great, 20, that's almost half the year. I wouldn't mind having it every day.
I would, too.
You know, it's just like anything else. You have to have some volunteer help that will go and put out the boards for you and everything.
Yes.
By and large, we mostly talk here on the Mary Griffiths Show to paid staff of the United Way. And you're the ones that make sure everything does get done. It's the volunteers, however, the cadre of volunteers. And so let's look forward to this campaign. Who's our campaign chairman and who's going to be helping them with this?
Yes,
effort?
Thanks for asking. Tanner and Alicia Freiberg are this year's campaign chairs. We have not announced co-chairs yet. We're still in the planning stages on that. And so we're super excited about that. And, you know, when we talk about the campaign chairs, they are kind of the face of the campaign. They're out there and they're in the public. But we also have our loaned exec program, which I know you're familiar with, Mary. And we call those our campaign champions because they are the ones that are going into our businesses and they are advocating for United Way and making sure that our name stays out there and trying to get us volunteers. You know, our board as well is completely volunteer. So you're right. We can't do what we do with a staff of six. We need our volunteers in the community. And, you know, we always say that at United Way, if you can't give, you can serve. So, you know, hopefully we've got both of those instances in Quincy one way or another. So
you get good people. I noticed Ryan Wicker is the outgoing president of your board, right?
Yes, incoming. He's this year.
He's incoming.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Well, let me tell you, there won't be any problem with the books.
That's exactly right.
This young man, was able to get a clean audit out of the Quincy Public Schools. When I was told as a reporter 10 years ago, it will never happen.
Yes.
There will always be something wrong.
He is amazing. Yes.
So you got to, you know, your money is, he's going to dot all the
He's going to take care of it. You know, it's funny because he's a CPA and so is my husband. So I get how he talks because that's exactly how my husband is, and it needs to balance, and we're definitely there.
The only thing he wants for Christmas is a new pocket protector for all of his pens, right? You always know what you get him for
Christmas.
I
love it.
They've got the helpline, they've got the unmet needs, and they've got the good news of Christmas, which the United Way has taken over. They do a lot of things. The Joe Bonansinga Award, I understand it's still not too late to
nominate
somebody.
Thank you for saying that, yes.
But it's coming up this week.
It's like, coming up. So you have
like
till the weekend. Let's get your nominations in. It is so quick and easy this year, Mary. It's not even a full page. The application will take less than 5 minutes. So if you know someone in the community that's an outstanding member that is always going around, you know, doing things for others and working in the community, please nominate them. We want them to be recognized. A lot of times they don't want recognition, but we want to show what they've done for our community, and we definitely would like to get a few more applications in for that.
Okay. They are high-caliber people in reverse order. Last year's winner was Laura Sievert, Chief Joe Henning, Phil Conover, Charlie Doan, Mike Elby, Jeff Speer, Paul Brown, Brad Billings, Mike Klingner, Becky Albert, Terry Myers, Dr. George Meyer, Kathy Ritter, Lee Lindsay. Wow. It just keeps going and going.
It's like an all-star list in
Quincy,
right?
It's an all-star list of people in our community. So if you know somebody, this is the week after nominate them. Make sure the Joe Bonansinga Award. It's a great honor for these
very
people
prestigious
to receive this.
You know, he was Mr. Quincy. I know you know probably better than anyone because you've always been in this community. But
he was never my boss.
Yeah,
he was my father's boss.
There you go.
And I'll never forget. This is how great Joe Bonansinga is. Of course, Joe Bonansinga is great in many ways. But two things in my life that are totally memorable. I did this charity walk where you had to walk 25 miles in one day. The Walk for Hunger.
Oh my.
And
a lot of miles.
It used to be popular back when I was a kid. Anyway, I went in and I kind of wanted to make, you know, a lot of money. And I went in and asked Joe Bonansinga if he would sponsor me. And I didn't know, you know, 25 miles. I thought, well, if he gives me a nickel a mile, that'll be a buck and a quarter.
Sure.
You know, or whatever, you know. And I didn't know what was going on. And he ended up, you know, making some ridiculous, outlandish, far beyond my expectations, you know. Of course,
I love it.
Yeah. And so I was able to, you know, I kept going. Boy, I did not give up. I walked down 25 miles
because
I knew that if I kept going, I was going to get that big check from Joe Bonansinga. And then the other thing Joe did, which is another great personal memory, he asked me if I wanted to ride the elephant into the ring at the Ringling Brothers Circus.
No way. Did you do it?
I did it. I had a little outfit with little feathers in my hair.
I would do that.
I was hanging on for dear life,
That's
girl.
That's amazing.
But I was there.
Yeah.
Not just around, you know, when they give you a ride, but this was like me.
Wow.
On an elephant. By myself.
Like you're in the show.
I mean, the guy was there.
Yeah.
You know, the rogue elephant wasn't going to happen, but I'm like.
Yeah.
I mean, this cage thing in this saddle.
They
basically.
Are massive. Yes.
These other girls are standing on their heads and stuff. And I'm like, no way.
I'll just
hold on.
Because
that guy goes, you could stand up. I go, yeah. Yeah. I want a seatbelt. I want to be bolted to
the elephant. Oh, my goodness.
So,
that's
so
hilarious.
Joe Bonansing is a great guy.
He is.
Honor somebody by.
Yes, and
you know,
I love hearing those stories. I you know, every time we talk about Joby,
yeah.
someone's got a story about him or something that he did for somebody. So that's the people that we're looking for in this community.
Okay, so if you know that kind of person, call the United Way. Thank you, Jenna
yes.
Hall. Thank you for the annual report. Folks
you
are
bet.
Doing great things. Go on their website and find out all about it. Quincy Mack, Truck Sales and Service, brings you this report. And after that, we're going to talk turkey with the three-time world champion turkey caller sitting out there in my green room. I can't wait to talk to
Wow.
him. We head into a discussion of the Nemo Youth Turkey Hunt. This is their 13th annual. And one of the founders of the hunt, Billy Yargis, is with us today. He is the three-time world champion turkey caller. The idea is to promote hunting and the outdoor for youth. Also joining us is Eddie Bogue. Good morning, officer.
Good morning.
Keep him in line. You always got to be on the straight and narrow, don't you?
No, that's a try.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what the purpose of this event is. It's coming up. It's this Friday evening, right?
Yeah, it's this Friday evening. And the purpose is we are trying to get kids out in the outdoors to go turkey hunting that wouldn't normally be able to. They don't have anybody to take them or they don't have a place to go. So we're trying, and we might even, if somebody comes along like that, we'll even provide them with some camouflage or a gun, place to go, a guide to take them. So that keeps them off their computer game for a little while and get them out in the outdoors and get them started there.
Yeah, you were talking that, you and your brother, he's an indoor guy with the computers and you're an outdoor guy with the hunting. And there's nothing wrong with being a computer nerd or liking your computer, but you ought to get out in the great outdoors every once in a while, right? This is what you're trying to encourage.
Actually, I agree 100%.
I see you have your National Wild Turkey Federation hat on, and Eddie, I know you hunt. Let's talk a little bit before we get into the details, because I want people to come to this thing, and I want to talk to those special people out there who generationally have lost the ability to hunt. Number one, they don't have the land to hunt on anymore. Mm-hmm. Grandpa's gone. There goes the farm. Now you got City Slicker Pop. No place to take the boy or the girl, because girls can do this, obviously, too. Are we seeing a decline in youth hunting because of loss of number of birds to hunt? There's not a loss of deer. Don't worry about that. There's plenty of those little rats. But are we seeing a loss in youth participation?
They say there is. There's a loss in just hunters in general, and part of that is that problem. The guy that taught me how to hunt and fish, Russell Robertson, one of the things that he told me years and years ago, he said, boy, one day you'll have to pay to hunt. And we're not exactly there yet, and partly because of the conservation department, there is a lot of public ground, and you do have to be careful and be on the guard whenever you are hunting public ground. But there are turkeys and there are deer on public hunting grounds. So due to them and the Corps of Engineer ground, there are places that anybody can hunt. So
if you're in Missouri.
That's true. I'm not sure about in Illinois.
Because my husband wishes he could go hunting with his brother, but his brother lives in Missouri and we live in Illinois. And trust me, my husband has to rent land to go hunting on. And Steve just comes up and right across the river there and gets a deer, you know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. The turkey population, the old building inspector for Hannibal, Missouri, his
Gene
first
Guy.
Name was Gene. What was his name?
Gene Guy.
Gene Guy.
Yeah, I hunted with him for years.
Man, he was a big turkey hunter. He had camouflage glasses. I thought, now I've seen it all. If you have your eyeglasses or camouflage. But he was talking about how there was this effort to bring the turkey back in Missouri that had kind of been eradicated. And our numbers are good now?
Back in the 70s and in early 80s, yeah, and I started hunting back in 78. But I was real good friends with Gene, and he's the one that actually got the Nemo chapter started down in Hannibal. And once we got that the turkeys started coming back, and we had good pockets of turkeys, and then they began to spread out probably in the mid-80s, and we ended up having turkeys pretty much everywhere. Our turkey population is down considerably right now compared to what it has been due to a lot of different things. A lot of it's habitat. Some people talk about the bird flu, just so many different things that can be contributing to that, you know.
Yeah, the bird flu did hurt some of the duck population, I know, this year. So it's interesting. Well, it starts out Friday night, and then it's on Saturday, so it's really a two-day event. It starts this Friday night. You're going to be at the Crossing Church in Hannibal. Is that down at the old Orpheum Theater?
It is. Right on Broadway.
Right on Broadway, right across from Central Park. And Eddie, jump in here because you know, I don't know which question. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about.
Well, back on your previous question, I think the Missouri Conservation back in 1959 relocated a lot of birds to Missouri to populate Missouri with the turkey. And back in the even late 60s and 70s, and then into the early 80s, we had one. We were, I think, in the top three in the nation for the most turkeys in our state of any other state in the nation. And then, like what Billy said, they have gone down dramatically for various different reasons. I think, you know, land management, predators, predation, and the disease. So we've seen quite a decline in the last few years.
Well, and you know, when you bring them in artificially, you know, they'll thrive there for a while, but then they have to be able to reproduce on their own. And like you said, that takes a lot of work. So let's talk about, and I'll let both of you just jump in, what's going to happen Friday night? Because are you really telling me that someone that's never gone turkey hunting before, you want them to come to this?
Yeah, that's what it's
designed for. So like, and girls and boys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so definitely. What age group are we talking about here?
Okay, up to 15 years old. What is it?
Six to 15
years old, they can hunt. And we will try to help them get a spot if they need that. I mean, a lot of the kids that are coming, we'll have over 100 kids. And a lot of the kids have a place to hunt. They have a dad or an uncle or somebody to take them. But there are that group of kids that may not have anything or have no idea what they need to do.
Or their dad may not... Their dad may not be part of this. So their dad may want them to hunt or may encourage them to hunt, but he's not going to be able to teach them.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
He'll be a willing participant, you know, in helping the kid do it, but... You know, he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll have a dad and a kid come out with the guide, so that the dad will get to experience with his child how it all goes and get to see that happen, and hopefully his kid get a turkey, and that's a great thing for both of them.
And a lot of times it sparks an interest in the dad. I know I've taken, I can't tell you how many people I've taken for the very first time, and even with the kids, how many dads had never gone turkey hunting before. I love to deer hunt, but there's something special about turkey hunting. When you can talk to a turkey and they talk back to you, and then they come in all blowed up.
Did you bring your call? Or can you do it with your mouth?
I do have a call.
Well, can you give us a call?
Sure. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah.
Because that's the key. You don't lure a deer in. You just sit there and wait for a deer to come into your general proximity. But with a turkey, they're never going to get close enough to shoot them unless you lure them in, right?
Wait a minute, Mary. You ask a world champion turkey caller if he had a call. Let's go back and revisit that. Of course he's got a call.
I assume, but, you know, the turkeys just follow you. You go out there and they try. Forget it. Give me a turkey. Okay, you want me a girl turkey or you want a boy turkey? What are you trying to do?
You try to imitate the female turkey to try to get the gobbler to you. And the whole deal is, the gobbler, the way it's supposed to work, the way God created them, was the hen is supposed to go to the gobbler. So he's gobbling, and now we're trying to just entice him to come to us.
So you're playing hard to get.
Yeah, it's all about deception is what it is.
Okay, so you're deceiving some poor boy turkey, four-time turkey, thinking he's got a wild chick in the bushes there.
Yeah, even though you're 200 pounds and you're sitting up beside of a tree, he's thinking all the time. And see, this is what I do.
Well, this is what boys do. That's all they think about all the time. So I'm with you on that.
They're not that much different than people, not really.
I'll show you my turkey call, how I got my turkey later on, okay? You show me yours.
This is just a hen yelping. Are you getting excited? That's a hen that she just, maybe she did some plain yelps, a gobbler gobble. Now when she got all excited and did all the cutting and come back into yelping, that's telling that gobbler, I'm excited because I heard you. And what's he going to do? It's going to turn him inside out and come running.
You hope. That's the hope. Yeah, that's the hope.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you off air what my call was that I got my turkey. Okay. So there again, you made that look so easy. You did use a artificial device. Some people just use their natural voice. But there again, that's an art form. That takes decades to perfect what you were able to do, right?
It takes. Yeah, I've been doing it since I was 13.
Don't some people just use a stick or something?
You do have pot calls, we call friction calls.
Okay.
And then you have box calls. There's all kinds of different calls. I use the mouth call, and that's what I work full-time for Woodhaven Custom Calls out of Heflin, Alabama. I build mouth calls for them. And, yeah, it takes. I help them also design mouth calls and all that stuff. So
is a mouth call specific? Like, it's like a retainer, it fits to my mouth, or do I just pick one off the shelf, or you make one for me?
No,
like,
you can, we got them in the store. Game Master carries the Woodhaven calls.
Okay, but I mean, like any size will fit me, or I have to find a size that feels
there's
good?
We do have a few of what we call youth calls, which are mini calls and mini frames. They're a little bit smaller, because different people have different palate size.
Mm-hmm.
So the normal is what we call a small frame, and that fits most people. But there are a few women and a few kids that like the mini frames to be able to fit tighter up into the roof of their mouth.
So. Okay.
And then you can slightly trim them if you need to make them a little bit smaller.
Yeah, the tape that's on them. You can trim that tape if you need it to fit a little bit better. It's just like a Johnson & Johnson tape on the outside of it.
Wow, it's pretty amazing. Now, you want them to come on Friday night. They're going to be at the crossing. They're going to learn about some safety. Obviously, they have to have... Now, deer don't see orange, so they can wear orange when you're deer hunting. What do you wear when you're turkey hunting? Do you wear full camouflage or is it orange?
No, you want to be fully camouflaged.
They're smart enough to see you.
They can see colors, for sure. They can see 10 times better than a person, and maybe even 10 times better on the hearing part of it. Yeah. And
so you sit very quietly. You just want to sit there as quietly as you can in your deer. And I can tell you, you laugh. When I got married, my husband goes, I need some camouflage. I said, you already have a whole bunch of camouflage. I didn't know there was some for turkey and some for deer and some for deer in the snow. I mean, I'm like, you've got to have 18,000 different outfits. It's crazy. Don't ever let a woman say she's got too many shoes.
This is totally different. You have to max your backgrounds. So wherever you're going to be hunting at, if there's a lot of leaves on, you might want more green in it.
Yeah, but that's...
And I use mossy oak bottomland, and it doesn't matter what time of year you use it or whether the tree, you know, whether you got green leaves on or whether it's in the fall or whatever. So I use the bottomland, and it's the best all year round. But
you can always look like a tree trunk.
I hope my husband's not listening, because if he doesn't own that already, now he'll want to go out and buy that.
I bet he does. That's pretty popular.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Mary, something else on a turkey, if you want some perspective, what I've always been told is on the vision of a turkey, they can see your eye blink at 100 yards. So if you can imagine how well they can see, if you try and picture and envision seeing somebody's eye blink at 100 yards... We could never do that. But a turkey, that's how acute their vision is.
How do you sit that still then? How do you...
Years of practice.
You move when their head gets behind a tree or something like that.
Okay,
that's
so
when
you watch them.
You can see them. Once you see them, but if you can see them, they can probably see you. So that's when you have to really be careful.
So that's why you're trying to lure them in to get them ever closer, ever closer. Do you only shoot the boy turkeys or do you ever shoot hens?
In the springtime, you can only shoot... Well, you can shoot a bearded turkey. So if a hen, which doesn't happen very often, but a hen could have a beard on her, and that is legal. I don't recommend it just because we want her to lay the eggs, but...
Okay. So even in nature, sometimes... Italian turkeys have to shave a little bit, even if they're a girl.
Exactly.
Okay. They didn't get to the wax. They didn't get to
really.
They didn't get to the beauty parlor. I'm sympathizing with you. Okay. So you want them to come on Friday night. You want them then to go out into the woods. What's the cost for all of this?
Only cost there will be is we ask them to be a Jake's member. So to get into any of the drawings, we ask them to join the NWTF Jake's membership, which is $10.
And that's the only cost. Is a small turkey?
Jake is actually a young gobbler, yeah. But
Eddie Bogue's like, I can't believe she knew that. Yeah. I figured that out. Yeah.
So the kids, they'll get a magazine from the NWTF and all that, and that makes them a member of the NWTF. they're going to meet their guide on Friday night and, you know, be able to converse with them what time they want to meet in the morning, where they're going, and all this different stuff. Plus, I'll be doing a turkey hunting seminar. Anybody is welcome to come to the church. You know, if you're a turkey hunter and you just want to come and watch, you're welcome to come to the church, even if you're not participating. We're still looking for guides. We're always looking for guides. So if you're a turkey hunter and you want to help a kid out, take them out for the very first time, come down and see us, and we'll try to hook you up with a kid. If not, you can go with somebody else and still have a good time with it.
One question comes to mind, and again, this is City Slicker Talk, and I know a little bit thanks to marriage, but I don't know, still know a whole lot, but you have to have a gun to shoot a turkey, and if I have no experience, who's going to teach me how to shoot the gun? Because, I mean, do they have to bring their own gun, or will you provide them a gun? Or
most
in today's society, okay.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, the few kids that will need a gun. Ralph Biedenbender, he's the one, and actually this was his idea even before me. I mean, he came to me and said, this is what I'd like to do. So it was actually his idea, and they get it started. But I've seen him take kids at his house and shoot a shotgun. Like, he'd let them borrow a shotgun, but he'd also teach them how to shoot it. The big thing is hunter safety. We have to make sure that everybody is completely safe. And the guides, they've been hunting long enough that they know all the, you know, all the safety rules for a gun, always keeping the muzzle pointed in the correct direction and keep it on safe until you're ready to actually pull the trigger. So,
and you got to be careful not to shoot a fellow hunter. So you kind of have to know where people are. That's why you kind of need to stake out your claim a little bit. I don't know. I mean, Eddie, you're a police officer. Is this a good idea?
Of course, giving
12-year-old boys and girls a gun and saying, go out there and see if you can hit a turkey?
Yeah, like
what are the chances they're actually going to be able to shoot one?
Well, the chances last year were out of about 90 kids, 15 of them got turkeys the first morning.
Good.
So those were really good odds.
Yeah, but, and overall it was like 24, 25.
Yeah, for the whole weekend.
So it was about 25%. So.
Wow, because you say you have to be so good and so quiet and so...
Well, we have good guides.
And have a good guide.
See, and the guide with the safety aspect is usually a lot of the kids, we have them in pop-up blinds, so they're not out in the open. They're in a blind, actually, so the guide can usually kind of give the kid step-by-step instructions and kind of help them out with how to aim and how to use the gun right at the time. So that does kind of help them with not being seen by the turkey if they're in an enclosed blind.
Okay. As opposed to just sitting, like some people I know, they just kind of sit with their back against a tree.
That's the way I grew up on. And now we have, like Eddie said, we have these pop-up blinds, and you could do jumping jacks in there when the turkey's at 10 yards and they wouldn't be able to see you.
Got a big recliner in there. Could I come along?
Well, that's a little harder to pack in the woods, but you could if you could pack it.
Well, I wouldn't pack it. You'd pack it.
No, I'm not packing it.
We might need a heater this weekend.
Might need it. Well, let's give some more general information. How do we find you on the web? What's a phone number we can do? Because I think, you know, you can take up to 100 kids. And these are kids between the ages of 6 and 15, girls and boys, who have not been able to go turkey hunting because of a variety of reasons, and you're going to make sure that they have everything they need, whether that be the camo, the gun. Most people have this stuff. They just have not had a chance to learn and practice. And this, like anything else, it takes practice to become a hunter. You're not going to go out the very first time. You might. 25% will. But for some, it's a learning experience. But just being outdoors is half the battle, right?
Just being outdoors, being able to hear a turkey gobble and just being out in God's creation, that's a big thing. I mean, that's what it's all about. I still like to kill a turkey, but if I don't, I mean, you can still have an enjoyable day whether you do or not. And then we meet at Rouse at noon, between noon and 1, we're going to be eating. And then that's where we give a lot of prizes away on Friday night. We have a lot of, Woodhaven provided a lot of turkey calls. Heimer Construction, they also have bought a lot of prizes to bring for that night. And then Apex Ammunition, they have provided a box of shells. We have 8 guns we're going to give away on Saturday at the dinner. And Apex Ammunition has provided 1 box of shells, the TSS, for each one of those guns. And we also have red dot scopes on them. We have a lot of people involved that are always, donating stuff. Like Doug Vaughn, he donated an air compressor.
Oh, great.
Was that 2 years ago or 3?
Air compressor was 2 years ago. Last year was a generator. And then this year we're going to raffle a whole beef.
Oh, wow.
In quarters. So
yeah,
that
come from Greasebaum Farms.
Yeah, Greasebaum Farms. And that's the money we get from the raffle. The proceeds from that is what we buy the guns with to give away to the kids on Saturday.
Okay. So it's a great event for those who want to get back to the roots of the people who used to have to hunt for their dinner, and it wasn't buying a frozen turkey at a Hy-Vee in the freezer chest. It was going out and getting your own. You know, I've had farm-raised turkeys. I don't think I've ever eaten a wild turkey. I mean, is that, how many can you get a year? Is it just one for Thanksgiving? Or
no, you could kill two in the spring. You could kill two in the fall season. And then you could also, if you're a bow hunter, you have two tags with your bow. So you actually could, if you wanted to, try to kill six turkeys in a year. They're very good to eat, too. I mean, they're... And if you shoot them right, you don't have to worry about pellets either. So you got to shoot them in the head.
Okay.
The legs are a little different. The legs are a little bit stronger than a tame turkey.
Okay. Well, I like the legs. Thank you guys so much. Billy Yargis, three-time world champion caller, and Eddie Bogue. And it's this weekend, folks. And get out and get involved if you'd like to do that.